What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylynn Riobé, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system, to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Awaken Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Mylynn Riobé, and today we're going to be talking about preventing postpartum depression. We're going to explore the real causes of postpartum depression that nobody's talking about and how you can protect yourself if you are planning to have a baby or if you've just had one, or protect those you love if you know anyone who is an expecting mom or a new mom. So again, in my unique position as an OBGYN, a holistic medicine practitioner, Chinese medicine practitioner, and functional medical doctor, this is a all too frequent conversation that I have with my postpartum clients. Postpartum depression is very common, unfortunately. One in eight women experience it. One in eight postpartum women. The causes, you know, are thought to be things like family history of depression, pre-existing depression, infertility is thought to be a cause. You know, most of these things, again, you have to ask yourself, well, what were the causes of those things, right? What caused this family history of depression? We know that depression is not genetic. And so what causes this pattern in people's families that lead to depression, which then leads to postpartum depression? So again, we seem to not go far, or, you know, back far enough in our allopathic model. And we stop short of really asking the important questions that would help us kind of break through and figure out why so many of our postpartum women are experiencing depression and sometimes even psychosis. So again, I usually go to, my go-to is always Chinese medicine to figure out, well, what are the actual causes of postpartum depression that we can address? And if you go to the CDC website, you'll see certain symptoms that are associated with postpartum depression. And they sound eerily similar to, for example, an underactive thyroid, for example. They sound eerily similar to someone who has an adrenal condition, for example, or some other types of hormone imbalances. They sound eerily similar to someone who, in my experience, would have a considerable number of nutrient deficiencies, whether they be vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, amino acids, or fats. So again, going back to this idea that mental health is not really mental. You know, when you look at the symptoms of postpartum depression, they're physiological symptoms. They're not, you know, pie in the sky, abstract things that we can't put our, you know, can't put our fingers on. They are physiological things, right? Fatigue, don't want to get out of bed in the morning, you know, not feeling enough energy to be motivated to do things. Anxiety, right? Anxiety is a physiological response. It's a physical thing. You know, it is this kind of angst in the body, feeling fidgety, feeling unsettled, ungrounded, right? You know, a weird feeling in the pit of your stomach, or maybe it's palpitations in the area of the heart, right? Or maybe it's a ton of mental, so-called mental agitation, right? A lot of rumination in the brain. Again, the brain is a physical structure. It's not, an abstract, non-physical thing. Now, the thoughts that we have that the brain is capturing and processing are not, as far as we can tell, physical things, but the brain itself is a physical structure. And so when it's capturing these thoughts that lead us to think that someone has depression or anxiety, we have to look at the physical structure of the brain to look at, well, why is that happening, right? And of course, the brain sits in the body, it's in the skull. And so the whole rest of the body influences the brain. And so if we really want to look at the true root causes of postpartum depression, we have to look at the body's physiology. We have to look at metabolism. We have to look at what is broken, so to speak, in the cellular environment of the body that the brain is responding in the way that it's responding, right? Aches and pains are another symptom of postpartum depression. Inexplicable aches and pains. Crying, frequent crying, feeling stressed all the time. We attribute this, well, the cause is having had a baby. and that's a stressor, no doubt, but it's not a cause of depression, right? I think most women who've had children would agree it's not a depressing time in their lives, or it's not anticipated to be a depressing time in their lives, right? In the vast majority of cases. It's a time that is meant to be very joyful, right? So we then again have to ask ourselves, how does such a joyful experience spiral down into what we would call depression? So what does Chinese medicine have to say about all this, right? So again, Chinese medicine is an energy-based system of medicine. So it's not in and of itself a physical medicine, but we do understand that the energy that they talk about in traditional Chinese medicine runs the function of the physical structure of the body, right? And so Chinese medicine has an astounding and profound way of explaining things that would otherwise be inexplicable, right? So the so-called inexplicable aches and pains of postpartum depression are not inexplicable according to Chinese medicine. There are patterns involved in those aches and pains. There are patterns involved in that postpartum depression. There are patterns involved in that anxiety that we can very quickly identify and then treat to lift the postpartum depression, or to settle the anxiety, if you will. So the key is knowing what the pattern actually is. So what's a pattern? A pattern is a cluster of symptoms or a pattern of symptoms that are known in traditional Chinese medicine to underlie what they would call a disease. So in Chinese medicine theory, depression is a disease. It's also a disease in allopathic medicine, but it underlies this disease. And it is what is, creating the manifestation of the disease, so to speak. They don't identify it as a root cause per se, but they call it a pattern on purpose. It's an imbalance of the energy in the body. When there's an imbalance in the energy of the body, that translates into the physiology of the body. So we can kind of liken traditional Chinese medicine, if we're trying to fit, a square peg into a round hole, we can say that it's describing metabolism. It's describing the function of the physical structure of the body. And so what they're describing is what's out of balance in terms of the function of the physical structure of the body that we can correct. So there are a few patterns of disharmony in traditional Chinese medicine that we know to be responsible for postpartum depression. So one of the more common ones is what we call blood deficiency. Blood deficiency is not anemia. So again, I did a podcast on that. The differences between blood deficiency and anemia, all women should know. It's very relevant in the discussion of postpartum depression. if there is not enough, quote unquote, blood to settle the body or to carry the energy of the body. So your blood carries your energy around, right? We understand it to carry vitamins, minerals, oxygen around into the body. So again, your brain is an important structure, but it's not that important, right? So your body may not be properly fueling your brain on purpose, because it's got more important places to fuel. And so that's important to know. If you have blood deficiency, one of the symptoms or signs would be floaters in your vision. So they're like the little dots that people see floating around in their vision. They're not the lightning bolts and the light sensitivity. That's different. These are just subtle little floaters that you see in your vision. That's a big hint of blood deficiency. The other more obvious one is dizziness, especially what we call postural dizziness. So if you're laying down, for example, and you sit up and you feel kind of woozy, or if you're sitting up and you stand up and you feel kind of woozy, those are signs of blood deficiency. Now, you may go to the lab and you may have your blood drawn and you may have perfectly normal blood work. That doesn't mean you're not blood deficient. It's the signs that we look for. And then when we look at your tongue, it may be a little bit pale. We check your pulse, it may be thin or weak. And so that would be diagnosis of blood deficiency. When blood becomes deficient, it can also stagnate. So if there's not enough energy moving things around, they back up. Right. And so that's where we get the idea of stagnation. Things just back up, they backflow. When things are stagnant, they're not moving smoothly. And so this, unsmooth movement of energy can also cause postpartum depression symptoms. There are some phenomenal Chinese herbs to treat that, and also to treat blood deficiency. In fact, there was a study done about a decade ago comparing what are called SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, basically, like Prozac and other examples, Lexapro, was compared. They were compared to a Chinese herb. In English, we call this herb free and easy wanderer, or in pinyin, it's called Zhao Wei, Xiao Yao San. And they were compared head to head in terms of the success of treating depression, and they were noted to be similar in effect, with one big distinction being that the Chinese herbs caused zero side effects in the patients, whereas the side effects of SSRIs are pretty commonly known, reduced libido, weight gain being probably the two most distressing, the other being that it backfires and makes you feel more depressed, in fact. They did not see that with the Chinese herbs. And so there are equivalent herbs in traditional Chinese medicine that can be used under the guidance, of course, of a certified traditional Chinese medicine physician or doctor of Oriental medicine. So those are probably the two biggest patterns that I see in my office, is this blood deficiency and what we call qi stagnation with a background of blood deficiency. So in other words, the patient was already deficient in blood, and then the blood was so deficient that the energy was stagnant. It just wasn't flowing well. Other patterns we see are phlegm and dampness. So phlegm and dampness in traditional Chinese medicine, again, there's no direct translation into our allopathic model. Loosely, again, to try to fit a square peg into a round hole, we can say it's kind of like inflammation, generated usually from what in traditional Chinese medicine we call spleen, which again, no direct translation, but the closest thing we could think of is metabolic disturbance or gastrointestinal disturbance that creates an inflammatory process that, blocks what in Chinese medicine we call the orifices, the senses. And literally it can be thought of as inflammation in the brain. Phlegm versus dampness. Dampness tends to settle. although it can still affect the brain. Phlegm is kind of almost this caked-in inflammation. Usually the dampness has been there for a while. So the inflammation's been there for a while, and then it's kind of caking in, so to speak. And again, we tend to think of phlegm in allopathic medicine or in layman's terms as something you cough up when you're congested. That's not the type of phlegm that we're talking about here. So in traditional Chinese medicine, there's something called substantial phlegm. So it has substance. That would be what you would hack up, you know, if you had a cold and you were, you know, coughing up phlegm. That would be substantial. It has substance. And then there's insubstantial phlegm. So we're talking more about insubstantial phlegm here. So insubstantial means can't really see it, but it's still there, right? So this is a kind of inside of your cells kind of inflammation. It's not out here so everyone can see it. It's deep inside the cells. So your cells might be swollen, for example. They may have too much water in them, so to speak, but in the form of inflammation and phlegm. And what that does is, of course, if your cells are swollen, they won't work well, right? So you can imagine the tension on the surface of the cells where the receptors are located, where your hormones are supposed to bind, where your blood sugar is supposed to bind. You know, there are all kinds of things that come in, electrolytes, et cetera, that are supposed to come into, for example, in this case, we're talking more about the brain cells. And if the cell is swollen, we can see how that can be disrupted and that cell will not function well. And so, again, there are some really good herbs for that. Acupuncture would work really well in this case as well. It would also work for qi stagnation, you know, causes of postpartum depression. But there are really good herbs for phlegm and dampness and really good acupuncture points that can be used, again, by a doctor of oriental medicine. To help lift the postpartum depression. Another pattern is blood stasis. So stasis is a little bit different than just stagnation. Stasis is the difference between the two would be when we check your pulse, if something is stagnant, it's still kind of flowing, but it's just backed up. So we would see that as what we would interpret as a wiry pulse, sometimes a tight pulse, but more wiry. Wiry means like it feels like a guitar string. It feels very taut, like a guitar string under the fingers. Stasis, I'm sorry, the pulse is a little bit more choppy. So when we say choppy, we mean it's there, it's not there. Then it pops back up and then it disappears again. Like you can literally feel the pulse just coming and then it stops. And then it comes back again. That's a stasis pulse, or what we would call a choppy pulse. That tends to be a more severe pattern. And that means that the blood is really just not flowing well at all. It's coagulated, it's clumped up, it's just not moving well. And that can even lead to postpartum, not just depression, but psychosis. So, again, because it's a more severe pattern, you don't just have, you know, depression, lack of motivation, fatigue, aches and pains. You can literally have also hallucinations with blood stasis patterns. So postpartum psychosis is what we would link this particular pattern most to. And again, really good herbs. Acupuncture works quite well for this. Now, also, in addition to, what's equally as critical is that you see a mental health care practitioner. You do not do this in a vacuum. And most responsible doctors of Oriental medicine will not manage you by themselves, right? So this is in conjunction with a mental health practitioner as well, who will equally evaluate you, equally counsel you for prescription medications if they are necessary. Also, seeing a psychologist who will engage you in talk therapy or cognitive behavioral therapy, or you know, any number of other modalities that would be appropriate for your particular situation. So that's equally important, right? Making sure that you're not in a vacuum in one realm or the other, right? I think with the mental health crisis that we have going on today, it's important to have your feet in both worlds and not just one or the other. You know, unfortunately, in our field as an integrative, you know, medical doctor, people seek our help last rather than first. Again, in my opinion, you know, with my book that I wrote, Faith, the healthcare plan that I'm developing and creating, integrative medicine becomes primary care. It is the first point of contact, not the last point of contact. But it shouldn't be the only point of contact, right? But if it is the first point of contact, this is where I believe there will be the most powerful prevention of diseases possible, is if functional, holistic, integrative medicine is primary care. It's your primary point of contact. Yes, you're seeing your obstetrician, of course, to manage your pregnancy, but you're also seeing a doctor of oriental medicine or a functional medical doctor, or, you know, hopefully more practitioners will do what I did, which is do both, study traditional Chinese medicine and functional medicine and be a medical doctor. So, you know, having my, I was going to say feet, but I don't have 3 feet, but, you know, being in three different systems of medicine, just gives me this lens and this holistic view, that I think is important for every doctor to learn. When it becomes the primary point of contact, this is where we're going to see the most powerful prevention that we've probably ever seen in our medical system. So how does one prevent postpartum depression? Like, what do you do? So we just talked really quickly about what you can do if you suspect you have postpartum depression. If you're already a mom, you've already had your baby. And, you know, sometimes postpartum depression lasts well beyond the postpartum period, right? Sometimes it is the beginning of what we would call chronic depression. So it was unmasked by the pregnancy, it was unmasked by having the baby, but then it persists well beyond the 3 or 4 months that we would expect someone to have a postpartum depression. These particular tactics I just talked about are equally as effective. But again, you have to have the proper diagnosis. In traditional Chinese medicine, diagnosis is the most important thing. And it's also important to know that we don't treat diseases in traditional Chinese medicine. So it's not like we're going to say, yes, you have depression, here's the herb for depression, or here's the acupuncture treatment for depression. You have to know the pattern of the depression. So what you're actually treating is the pattern. It's not the depression. So the depression is being treated by treating the pattern, rebalancing the pattern. So it's really important to know the pattern. That's the most important part of Chinese medicine, is to really differentiate that pattern and then to match the right herbs, the right acupuncture points to that pattern. And then to treat it, you know, for a significant enough time that it takes effect, right? It's never a one and done, take these herbs for a week or do these one or two acupuncture treatments. You know, there is a bit of an ongoing commitment that's necessary. And then some type of check-in for maintenance, even when you're off the herbs and the acupuncture treatment's done, there's still some maintenance where you want to make sure you check in and that pattern is not, you know, reforming. If it is, you want to tackle it right away. In the field of functional medicine, what we can do is look at the physiological. What's the physiological stuff that's going on with this postpartum depression, right? And we talked a little bit about this last week in our podcast, and we talk about it a lot in many of our podcasts. But what vitamin and mineral deficiencies are causing this low mood or this anxiety to occur? Again, if your cells, if the insides of the cells don't have what they need, they will not function properly, right? And again, your body is super, super smart. So the way that you would treat a postpartum depression is somewhat the way you would prevent it in the field of functional medicine. It's just a spectrum. And so having vitamin and mineral deficiencies and hormone imbalances, for example, for months or years before you ever got pregnant would lead to the stress, so to speak, of handling the pregnancy. So there's a way that, unfortunately, again, because we don't look at women early enough in their lifespan before they get pregnant to help optimize them for their pregnancies, we're missing the opportunity to prevent postpartum depression and chronic depression, because in treating all of the physiological gaps that are present that have led to that woman not being optimally ready for pregnancy, those are the same causes as the postpartum depression down the road, which will be the same causes as any other condition that that woman may experience, based then on her genetic predisposition. So genetic predisposition doesn't have as much to do with the beginning parts, the vitamin, the mineral deficiencies, the hormone imbalances, all of the things going on inside the cells that make them imbalanced, that are putting them at risk. What causes the actual disease is that, right? And the genes sitting in this unhealthy environment where there are vitamin and mineral deficiencies, hormone imbalances, toxins accumulating as a result of the vitamin deficiencies and the hormone imbalances. Now you have an unhealthy cell where there's inflammation, there may be phlegm, there may be stagnant blood, whatever there is in there, the genes are sitting in there, right? So your genes are in all your cells. The genes that really matter the most are not as protected, oddly enough. The genes that are sitting in the mitochondria, for example, the genes that are in the nucleus of the cell are very well protected. They're behind this fortress. Nothing's going to get through. And those are the genes that code for our structure. Make sure we have five fingers on each hand. Make sure we only have one head, two eyes. Those genes are very well protected behind the walls of the nucleus, deep inside the cells. All the other genes are more or less unprotected. They are in the mitochondria. The mitochondria are, free floating inside the cell. They're not as protected. And so those genes are very vulnerable to damage. They're very vulnerable to not being utilized when they should, right? So there are certain genes your body would prefer to turn on, but because the cellular environment, the inside of the cells, are unhealthy, they have to turn on a whole different set of genes than they otherwise would to deal with the unhealthy environment. And so they're turning on gene B instead of gene A. Gene B is going to turn on a whole other series of genes, which will then turn on a whole other series of genes that will lead to the diseases that we end up with. So again, that's not genetic, that is epigenetic. So postpartum depression, chronic depression is epigenetic. The reason we think it runs in families is because we learn our behaviors from our family members, right? We learn our behaviors from authoritative figures. And so our coping mechanisms, the thoughts that we have in response to things that happen to us, those are learned behaviors. And that can also trigger physiological changes, or the physiological changes can exacerbate those patterns of thinking, which then can lead to the postpartum depression or the chronic depression as well. There's a mix of things going on. So we're going to go to our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dive into how do we prevent postpartum depression so that we can stop this wave of 1 in 8 women, which is a horrible statistic. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness. I'm Dr. Milene Riobe. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milene Riobe. That's M-Y-L-A-I-N-E-R-I-O-B-E, M-D. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milene the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the founder of Awakened Wellness Now, an online education community dedicated to helping exhausted entrepreneurs recover from burnout and live their best lives. She's also a practicing physician at the New York Center for Integrative Health in New York City. For more information, visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and today we are talking about how to prevent postpartum depression. So we had a couple questions here. I've seen eye floaters. The last couple of days I felt dizzy. How do I get more blood? Yeah, so those could certainly be signs of blood deficiency. I would, of course, advise you to make sure that you get evaluated, right? Make sure that you don't have actual anemia. But even if you don't have anemia, you're still sounding like you're blood deficient, right? So one of the ways is to check your own pulse and see. So if your pulse is kind of weak, that's a telltale sign of blood deficiency. And also tongue tends to be kind of pale. So blood, how do you get blood? Bloody food, right? That's the most obvious way to get blood. So if you are an omnivore, then it would be animal protein sources. So poultry, pork, fish, eggs are a pretty good source of blood, the yolk in particular. And then of course, red meats, gamey meats. You want to be a little cautious with red meats and gamey meats. So again, if you did the burnout assessment on our website, awakenedwellnessnow.com, and you are a hot dynamic metabolic type, whether it's deficient or excessive, you want to be careful with red meats because they're hot. In the absence of that, then you can certainly have some red meat. Green leafy vegetables are also blood nourishing, and barley is also blood nourishing. Bone broth, my personal, you know, favorite for blood nourishing that a lot of people don't like, but I do, is liver. So liver and onions is a good option. Question, being depressed in cycles in my life, almost every month I can count on a few days of feeling blue. Josh, my husband, wants a family. My mom continues to tell me how depressed she was after my birth. Honestly, having to go through a birth and then expected postpartum depression, I don't want to go down that path. Yeah, so, you know, again, the the best thing to do is to enlist the help, the support, I should say, and the a partnership with a board certified integrative medical doctor or a doctor of oriental medicine, or hopefully one like me does both. Very preventable, right? So again, postpartum depression is not genetic. It's not hereditary. It's simply that, I tell this to my patients all the time. It's whatever your parents had at the moment of conception is what you got, right? So, and we can all look back, and figure out how much energy we think our parents had, at the moment of our conception, right? So pretty much none of us are born with a full tank of gas, right? And we're seeing this in our younger and younger generations being born with even less in the gas tank, right? They're running out of gas a lot earlier. And so you get what you get, but that's not hereditary. That's not genetic, right? So you can still build on that. So again, we talked about this last podcast, is getting a micronutrient panel, I think, should be, part of everyone's wellness plan, bar none, without exception. Again, it's not considered a standard test. It's very much considered, out of the box, not conventional, but it's critical. And it's simply common sense, so you're looking inside your cells for 33 different nutrients. That's the simplest, easiest way to know what your risk for a lot of things are. Because if you're depleted, if you have 10, 11, 12, 15 vitamin deficiencies and mineral deficiencies out of 33, you're running on a half a tank of gas, right? And so you need to know that. And then again, ask yourself, why? Why do I have all these vitamin and mineral deficiencies, right? And so again, this is where integrative medicine comes in, because there's no testing in Chinese medicine. So, the doctor of oriental medicine can help you know the pattern, but if that pattern is one of blood deficiency or qi deficiency, then you probably have a series of nutrient deficiencies. And then again, if you have a series of nutrient deficiencies, the next question is why? Why do I have this, right? So you want to be like a toddler, a two-year-old, constantly asking why? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Right? And you just keep going back. Why? Until there's no more whys to ask about, right? Then you start to fix at that level. So is it a gut infection? Do I have an infection in the location where I would be absorbing these vitamins and minerals, right? We talked about that as SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. SIBO is known to be a risk factor for depression and anxiety. And so again, starting with a micronutrient panel, if you've got more than your fair share of vitamin and mineral deficiencies, you should be tested for SIBO. You should be tested with a breath test to find out if you have this infection and have it treated by someone who knows how to treat it successfully. Again, that's a board certified integrative medical doctor. Then you would take the vitamins and minerals that you're depleted in, right? So again, you don't want to just take the vitamins and minerals and not ask, why do I have them? So again, we talked a little bit about this last week, but the answer may be, I have a gut infection. Let me go figure that out. Let me make sure that's not it, right? The second thing is, do I eat really bad food? Like, do I just not pay attention to my nutrition, right? Do I skip a bunch of meals all day long? If the answer is yes, then you want to correct that, right? You want to make sure that you're having your meals. You want to make sure they're nutritious and healthy. So you might want to enlist the assistance of a registered dietitian in that case. Make sure that you're eating the right foods. And then if you have a micronutrient test result, that registered dietitian should be able to tell you which foods to eat to correct those vitamin and mineral deficiencies. And also your integrative medical doctor should be able to prescribe the correct supplements to fill in the gaps. Those are the main things, right? Making sure that you do not have SIBO, and then correcting the gut damage that tends to occur from SIBO. So microbiome imbalances can be caused by SIBO, right? Most of irritable bowel syndrome, most people that have been diagnosed with IBS actually have SIBO. And so if you've been labeled with IBS or irritable bowel syndrome, make sure that you have a breath test to see if you have SIBO. Now, there are a couple different breath tests that gastroenterologists and other physicians might get. One could be for H. pylori. We're not talking about H. pylori here. We're talking about SIBO. That's a whole different can of worms. H. pylori doesn't cause a bunch of vitamin and mineral deficiencies. SIBO does. Make sure that the physician that you're seeing knows what testing to get, knows how to treat it once the results are back. An integrative medical doctor can treat SIBO with natural alternatives. Most gastroenterologists do not. So if you want to avoid antibiotics, then again, an integrative medical doctor is your best resource. And then fixing the damage in the gut. So I don't see very many clients who've seen gastroenterologists have this piece done either, which is to make sure that the damage that was done to your gut by the SIBO gets repaired. That's extremely important. So if your gut leaks, you have to have it sealed back up, again, with natural agents. There are tests that you can do to find out if your gut is leaking. And then you can repeat that test after interventions to make sure it's been successfully treated. The microbiome has to be properly rebalanced, right? So the small intestine is above the large intestine. So everything that goes through trickles through the small intestine into the large intestine and then eventually out through the stool. So it's one big connected tube. So whatever happens in the small intestine leaks down into the large intestine. So SIBO releases toxins. You know, the bacteria that are creating that infection release toxins into the gut. They release gases into the gut like methane, hydrogen, and other gases. They release lactic acid into the gut just junk, you know? And then because the gastrointestinal system is so disturbed, regular toxins come into your gut and they don't get released properly. So, you know, it's kind of like a toxic cesspool in the gut when someone has SIBO. That trickles into the large intestine, disturbs the microbiome, dysregulates your immune system. And that wreaks havoc. That causes inflammation. SIBO itself causes inflammation. And then the damage to the microbiome causes yet more inflammation. So all of that has to be treated. And we're going to take our next commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to rebalance your microbiome to help prevent postpartum depression. This also applies to anyone who currently has postpartum depression or even chronic depression. These are some tips and tools that you can use to help you, get back on your feet and live your best life. So we'll be right back after this commercial break.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobe. That's Mylaine Riobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Mylène the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Mylène is the founder of Awakened Wellness Now, an online education community dedicated to helping exhausted entrepreneurs recover from burnout and live their best lives. She's also a practicing physician at the New York Center for Integrative Health in New York City. For more information, visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 radio network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milene Ryobe. We're talking about how to prevent postpartum depression today. And so stabilizing the microbiome, again, a lot of controversy over probiotics, so that it applies again here. So you want to make sure that you're tested, right? You want to make sure that the microbiome is tested. So there are DNA tests that can be done that take a snapshot of the microbiome to tell you their counts and whether or not they're functioning properly. So it's their counts that we need to know the most to figure out if you need probiotics or not, right? Because the probiotics are trying to increase their counts. What I've noticed in most of my patients that I test is they don't need probiotics. It's actually quite rare that they need probiotics. And we do have, again, emerging studies coming out to show that probiotics may actually increase the risk of SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And so you want to be very judicious with the use of probiotics. Now, again, that doesn't mean you can't have kimchi and kombucha and yogurt. You know, the numbers of good bacteria that are in those foods is small. I'm talking about the capsules, the powders that people consume that have, you know, tens of billions or hundreds of billions of probiotics. Those are the ones that we're talking about here that can increase the risk of SIBO. And so when you want to rebalance the microbiome, you want to be tested, right? If you can't be tested, then I would err on the side of caution and use prebiotics, not probiotics. So probiotics are the actual bugs that you're consuming in the form of a capsule or a powder to increase the numbers of these bugs in the gut. Prebiotics, you're consuming like almost like fertilizer. So it's different types of sugars that the good bacteria prefer to consume. So you're kind of fertilizing them and letting them figure out what to do with that food, right? The human body is extremely intelligent. So if we just give it what it needs, it will figure the rest out. So there's a way that if you just put the fertilizer in the gut and you allow the microbiome to figure itself out, that it will. If there are, you know, certain strains of the good bacteria, the microbiome that are normal and certain ones that are low, and you're consuming probiotics, what is going to happen is the ones that are normal will become excessive, you know, so that you can bring the ones that are low back to normal. The ones that are excessive are going to cause problems, right? Everything's a double-edged sword in the body, like everything. Estrogen's a double-edged sword. Iron's a double-edged sword. The microbiome is also a double-edged sword. So too little of them is bad, but too many of them is also bad. So we want to make sure that we're feeding them the right food so they can grow, you know, or not grow if we don't want them to overgrow, right? There's a way that they can figure themselves out. So I err on the side of caution for that. If there are strains that are normal in my clients and other strains that are low, if I can't specifically give them those specific bacteria that are low and avoid the ones that are normal, I give them prebiotics instead, or I recommend prebiotics to them. So that is how you rebalance the microbiome. And then, of course, all of that is, dependent on proper nutrition, right? Making sure that you're eating well, and that you're doing your best not to disturb the microbiome, right? So making sure that you minimize pesticides in your food and eat as organically as possible. Again, this is where eating for your dynamic metabolic type would be very helpful. So again, I encourage you to take our burnout assessment on awakenedwellnessnow.com to get a really good sense of what nutrition would be most beneficial for you. Depression and burnout are not that dissimilar. They're not that different. So it's really important that you eat the right foods. And it's really important that you fill the gaps, right? When the body is in deficit, so if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type, it's really important to fill those gaps in, right? Again, your body is super smart. And even when you have depression or postpartum depression, it's actually working perfectly. The body never doesn't work perfectly with what it has available. So it's working perfectly with what it has available. And your body will go to great lengths, twisting itself into a pretzel to assure your survival, even if that results in depression or even cancer, because your body, again, it cannot tell time. So to your body, depression is not an immediately life-threatening condition, although it can be. Depression is an extremely important condition to have properly evaluated and treated, because it can be a life-threatening situation. But to the physiology of your body doesn't interpret it that way. It interprets a heart attack and a stroke as immediately life-threatening. And so if it has to choose between the two, if it has to choose between sending resources to the heart and the lungs, it will do so without sending it to the brain. There's a tiny little place in your brain that it always sends blood flow to, and that's the very center. That's the center that controls your heartbeat and your breathing. So your body will very specifically send blood there. The rest of your brain, it won't send as much to. This is where we get brain fog. This is where we get even Alzheimer's dementia, right? The outside of the brain, the cortex, is not as important to your body as the very center that controls your heartbeat and your breathing. So if there's not enough to go around, if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type, your body will make really critical decisions for you that will result in all kinds of conditions. Depression can be one of them, so that it can keep you alive from a physiological perspective. Keep pumping blood to your heart, keep pumping blood to the lungs. The blood it pumps up to your brain will not have as many vitamins and minerals in it, because your body is really smart figuring out where to send stuff to, right? The biggest example we have, and I write about this in my book, Faith, is in acute blood loss. So let's say you have a really bad car accident and you're bleeding internally. The first thing your body does is make you dizzy, right? And it suddenly shunts all of your blood right into the core, right to your heart and your lungs. It shunts everything there almost instantaneously. It makes you go horizontal, so that you're not fighting gravity, trying to get, blood up to the heart, lungs, and the very center of your brain. It'll make you pass out, and then it will shunt all your blood inward. So you'll be pale, your limbs will be, cold, your lips will be blue. It's not sending blood there. It's only sending blood here to do its best to keep you alive. Stress is just like that. When you're in a deficient, depleted state, your body is doing exactly the same thing, but in slow motion, like super, super slow. So you're not feeling it, but it's not sending as much blood into your brain. It's not sending as much blood into the musculoskeletal system. That's why we have numbness and tingling and cold limbs, but it's super slow. It's not an acute car accident where we're bleeding internally. It's stress. So it's just a slower version of it. But that's how your body works, and it's a brilliant machine. And so I encourage everyone to visit a board-certified integrative medical doctor, Doctor of Oriental Medicine. I also encourage you to take our burnout assessment at awakenwellnessnow.com. And thank you again for listening. I hope you found this podcast to be helpful. And until next time, many blessings. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Milen and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the founder of Awakened Wellness Now, an online education community dedicated to helping exhausted entrepreneurs recover from burnout and live their best lives. She's also a practicing physician at the New York Center for Integrative Health in New York City. For more information, visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.